We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
WEEI, the flagship station for your Boston Red Sox. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey station.
Listen, let me just remind you as we begin this hour, tune in every Wednesday at 2:30 as Red Sox manager Alex Cora joins OMF from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio.
Time for the best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ballpoint, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralt of the Section 10 podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the live BP baseball show.
If you hit the man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradford and Peralt on EEI.
All right, let's go. Let's go. I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Peralt. This is a live BP show. We're taking you up to the pregame show with Brian Barrett. Then I'll be on the call with Will Fleming, Red Sox, Yankees, Nathan Eovaldi on the mound, Franchi Cordero in right field. I feel like this is sort of what we have to say, right?
Yeah.
This is the news. Franchi Cordero in right field.
Well, here's the deal, though. I think we had alluded to it earlier where, oh, maybe they have Franchi in right because they think a lot of balls are going to left. Eovaldi's on the mound.
I know.
Guys are going to be late on the 130 mile.
I got to imagine that's the case. Like, I gotta think
that they have some analytics.
Analytics show.
Let me
Steve.
Tell you what I hate, Rob Bradford. Actually, it's the analytics people are always like, actually, Steve, if you look at the Forb Zorp, this guy is supposed to be in right field because he's only going to get two pop-ups today. Because we looked at the analytics, like, shut up.
I so enjoy every time the pitcher gives a stink eye to the dugout. When a ball goes to the right where the second baseman should be sitting.
Yeah.
And they'll immediately fire back. I will going to go down to the clubhouse and get to this guy and tell him, hey, listen, here's another nine times.
Just so you know.
Nine times, yeah.
The analytics said that he shouldn't have been there, so we were right. Garrett Richards does not like the advanced
analytics. Yeah, I was going to say that. He's the leader in the clubhouse and giving the stink eye. All right, 617-779-7937. See everybody line up. The analytics show, this is the best baseball show in the entire radio world.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Again, and it's advanced analytics.
Exactly.
It's not just the regular ones.
All right. Tony in Bridgewater. Hey, Tony, how are you doing on this fine day?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good, Tony.
Good groundscape and talk.
Oh, Tony, yeah, man.
Would roll over in his grave if he heard this stuff.
I know.
Listen, the Red Sox want to make a push, and I haven't heard anyone mention this, but this guy, Aguilar, for Miami, is the perfect fit for the Red Sox. Drawback, he needs 300 or 400 at bats down in the minor leagues. But you go to he's only signed for this year with Miami. I think it's $4.5 million. You go to Miami and say, take Chavis or take Frenchie, right? It's a no-brainer for both teams. And you've got a solid first baseman that'll tattoo that left field wall. This guy's a monster.
Tony, thank you for the call.
Nope.
He wants Jesus. Tony wants Jesus.
Tony.
He wants Jesus Aguilar.
And usually I disagree with Tony, but I have been on the Jesus Aguilar train for quite a while. And not just because I have a photo that I took of him and David Ortiz at the David Ortiz Celebrity Golf Tournament standing next to each other.
They should. I'm sure your trip is paid for and everything, but they should give you more money. The amount that you talk, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, the amount that you talk about that event, you're the main promoter of the event.
I agree.
Yeah.
First of all, I agree.
Part of me thinks Poppy's giving you a little extra dough under the table.
First of all, I agree. Second of all, there is a reason, and because there's only one place I can get a Jesus Aguilar and David Ortiz photo, which knowing in 3 years down the road, after I took it, 3 years ago. They were going to trade for Jesus Aguilar.
Yeah, it's not an easy name.
Jesus Aguilar.
Yeah, it's not the easiest right one to say. It. For you, that was actually really good. who knows what's coming out of Rob's mouth when he's trying to say a tough name. But no, I think with Aguilar, 94 games played. He's got 69 RBIs. That's nice. He's top five in RBIs in baseball this year.
Google his contract. Give it to Google.
I'll do the old spot rack, which is another thing that.
All right, while you're spot racking Jesus Aguilar's financial terms, let's go to Aguilar. Jack in the Cape. Hey, what's going on, Jack?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good afternoon, Jack. Good.
About 50 years ago or so, I've got to do the math. It's probably longer. I was a member of good standing of the Tony C's Kinnig's Corner, where we sat in the center field bleachers, which are now, of course, blocked off these days. And what we used to do is when the other team was up, we would wear our white shirts. And then when Tony and the Red Sox came up, we would, to help the traditionally mediocre Red Sox pitching staff at the time, change into our blue.
Well, that was a weird thing.
You did your thing, Jack.
Jack, in center field, it wasn't that long ago where they tried doing that. They gave the T-shirts. Yep. They gave these green T-shirts in center field so they could fill.
Well, we would just do that naturally. No one had to tell
us. But this is like because you have to have that area as a batter's eye. Back in the day, like you were saying, it was one of the worst places to hit in the major leagues because you had all these fans right in the batter's eye. And then they just said, nah, we can't do this. We can't give out
T-shirts. When did they switch over to the black backdrop? When did they actually do that?
That must be like 30 or 40 years
No. It was in the 2000s. They were giving out the T-shirts in the 2000s.
Wow. Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah.
My point, by the way, guys, is that, a lot of talk about Tony yesterday as well as Rafi, who I just love. But the big difference, forget the ages, because, I mean, I'm not going to play the old 22 versus 24, was actually their swings. And somebody probably saw Tony hit at least 100 home runs. Tony actually had an uppercut swing so that every one of his balls went so high. I mean, Alan Shepard didn't go as high. You know, these things just went up and up and up, and then they were very, very elegant where Rafi just kisses the ball.
Can I ask you a question, Jack? Because I never saw Tony C play, right? So the one thing that when we watch Devers hit, the things that strikes me every single time is the backspin he puts on the ball. The follow through, when he hits a ball in the outfield and you're getting ready to call it, I don't know if this is going to be a home run or not, almost always it's a home run. It goes about 20 feet further than you think it would. I don't know if Tony C was the same way, but I haven't seen a lot of guys like do that like Devers does it.
No, I agree with you. You know, the thing is, he hits the ball so hard that Tony's was, I will tell you, he was one of the few hitters. Frank Robinson was the same kind of hitter, to be honest with you. You could tell it was gone when he hit it, but you also knew it was going to take its bloody time getting down with his uppercut. And, it was a very majestic, sweet swing and a sweet, like he never had one of these balls that, Bucky dented plunk into the, right into the inch over the wall. No, they were always majestically hit and far, but first of all, he's a right-handed batter. Second of all, he's got an uppercut. So he was more like slicing the ball. And, they really went far. And I will also say, if you never saw Tony C, he was almost, I'm not going to say he wasn't as good, but he was almost as good as Dewey in right field. I mean, he was a very, very excellent right fielder, and people sort of forget that. Jack LeMabe, who actually has been my moniker for the Sons of Sam Horns now for about 25 years, and when I've been with them.
I knew it was you, Jack.
Okay. We knew it the whole time.
Yeah, right. That, frankly, Jack used to say, he could have been another Clemente type if he had actually had a prolonged career in terms of just, he said, fielding and the way he got to the ball. When Yaz came out and said a couple of years ago, who is the best player you ever played with? And he said, Tony C. This is not, everyone goes to the star-crossed, which I understand completely, but he was a hell of a ball player. And I also think Rafi Devers is just a hell of a ball player. I'm just loving this team. I've been following this team since 63, and this is one of my three or four best experiences. I mean, I've thoroughly because it came out of nowhere. I'll never say like 67 because that was just out of the stratosphere.
No, absolutely, like absolutely. And Jack, thanks for the call. Jack, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. And I agree with the sentiment. I can't say that I saw Tony C play, obviously, a little before my time and before yours.
I've been to his restaurant.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts based on his play from the restaurant? So
people of that era just love Tony C. Obviously, Buckley is the guy, the president of the fan club.
He is, yeah.
I have no context for Tony C at all. Because it wasn't like the TV footage. Even when he got hit in the head, hit in the eye.
All I remember seeing is the after stuff.
Yeah, it's there's sort of video of it.
Yeah, kind of.
And I know Steve Buckley's going to just call me with all the things I'm saying
wrong. He'll be like, let me tell you about Tony C. I enjoy hearing people that got to see players before my time talk about them because I learn more about them from the word of mouth than I would from, like you said, bad footage. Because I feel like I speak of Nomar like he is just talking about right. Tony C. Like it's you talk about your guys that you grew up with because they made a difference.
And some 5-year-old right now is saying Hunter Renfrow is the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear that.
So this is why I love the fans of this show, because we talk about something and they lean on science.
Yes.
We talked about uniforms. I don't know if you saw this tweet. You were tagged as well from Colby at KORT Jester.
Colby's the best. He flew in from San Diego for the Section 10 live show.
All right, awesome. So, yeah, first of all, congratulations on that. That was seemed like a great time.
Great time.
On Thursday.
Great time.
What was that, at Kowloon?
Kowloon. I had never been before. Andy Wong is an incredible
That's
individual.
Where I used to pull over in their parking lot, listen to Brian Barrett and then Red Sox Review and hit my head on the steering wheel. I've told him that, though, before. all right, so we had mentioned earlier in the show, Steve, about like jerseys, about what jerseys people see the most. And we say, well, top three, Mookie has to be up there that we're looking at now. You said you see Garcia Pera jerseys.
A lot of Nomar.
I said I thought I saw a lot of Benintendi jerseys. You thought you saw a lot of Bogarts jerseys. Well, Kobe leaned on science because that's what we do here.
Yeah.
It's science.
Yes.
So he stood outside. He said, I've been counting jerseys outside Gate A for about 20 minutes. I love this, by the way. This is so good. And so this is what this is a tally of people that he has seen.
This is incredible that he did this.
I love it.
You hear something and you act. He is acting immediately. This is a great tally, by the way.
Okay, it is.
I wish it was an order of how many, but whatever. I can't get to it.
We can figure this out.
Yeah.
All right. So the number one is none of the above that we mentioned.
I know. Number one's kind of obvious. If you're listening at home right now, think of what the jersey that you're going to see most often at Fenway is, and you're probably thinking this name.
So Kobe saw 9 Poppy jerseys.
Yeah,
Ortiz
David Ortiz.
Jerseys. Okay.
Yeah.
David Ortiz jerseys. All right. Number two is a little surprising. Jason Varitek saw 5 of those.
Honestly, is that surprising? In terms of the love factor that fans have for a player over the last 20 years, Varitek is way up there.
Well, and also, this should be noted, is the anniversary today, the 17-year anniversary of the fight with A-Rod. So that might factor in as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Think people are that smart that they're wearing?
I kind of do.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, very
I
smart.
I
kind of
do maybe. That was very confident.
I kind of do maybe.
I kind of do sort of maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Number 4, scratches where you itch, was what you said. Bogey. Bogarts.
Yeah, there's a lot of bogeys. It's just a clean jersey. It's a 2.
You saw 4 of those.
Yeah.
So number 3, number 4 is a little bit of a surprise, I think. He saw 3 jerseys of both of these players. Ted Williams. I assume that's Williams. I don't think that's Gerald Williams.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that's
Williams.
And
JD. I assume that's JD Martinez, although JD Drew making an appearance
back
in the park.
I know. How crazy was it? What was he at Fenway for?
I don't know, but I couldn't make it because I had a commitment. So he's one of my favorite guys.
Anytime I see JD Drew, I just remember what my dad had mentioned from, what was it, game 2 of the World Series in 07, where it was like bases loaded, Manny came up, everyone's going nuts. The crowd is going on their feet, going nuts. Manny comes up, strikes out. It was like, but Mike Lowell's coming up. So we're going to still get loud. Mike Lowell might do something. He strikes out. Everyone sits down when JD Drew comes up and he hits the grand slam.
Well, isn't the classic video when Ellsbury stole home?
And
JD's sitting there in the batter's box and he doesn't even react.
He's just like nothing.
But I can tell you, covering JD Drew, he got such a bad rap.
I feel like I've barely heard him talk. I can't think he gives crazy answers.
Well, here's the weird thing. is that normally if you get him like after a game, he's just going to be blah, blah, blah. But then if you get him rolling, nobody talks longer than him. Yeah. Like to the point. So the first time
that JD Drew, really?
Yeah. Okay. The first time that I talked to him, I had stumbled upon a story. They had just signed him and found out that he did these crazy, crazy things to keep himself healthy, which is hyperbaric chamber, which isn't so crazy now, but there was something.
At that point, that was.
The Russian cosmonauts used that he bought. Yeah, he was on that. This diet that was only, it was solely based on the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like all this stuff. And he had these magnets that he would put all over his house to like fend off the radiation from phones.
Same, yeah.
There you go. Is that what's going on? No, I do that now. Right now?
Okay. At the time, it was weird, but now I do that.
So that was the first time I talked to him, and I'm like, he couldn't stop talking. It was crazy. Yeah.
It is funny when you get these guys going on something that they don't get asked about.
Yes.
That they want to talk about. And that's the thing that you kind of search for with the player interviews. Is like, what have they not discussed that they want to dive into? And clearly magnets that give off radiation.
I have gone to sushi lunch with JD and he made me pay.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like a Manny move. Apparently, he was very cheap.
Yes. And we hear more and more Manny stories over this week about how he stole things from teammates.
Yeah.
All right. So of this list, we gave you the top five or so of these days. This is a lot of names. Thank you, Colby, once again, for doing this exercise for us.
Shout out to Colby.
What name jumps out as the most surprising of someone wearing someone's jersey?
I like that he counted the Wakefield that he saw and the Wakefield that's him. So he's like, I saw Wakefield and I'm also wearing one, so me, he put in parentheses. There were a decent amount of Dahlbeck jerseys last night. Bobby gets a lot of love. What's surprising on here, though? Nothing really. I think the Mookie number is a little low, honestly. Mookie 2 over 20 minutes.
I got to be honest with you. Price is probably the one that surprises me the most.
There were a lot of people that liked David Price.
Because when he signed here, they probably ran out. And as you pointed out, you wear the jerseys because you invested in the jerseys.
Yeah, you spent a good price on the jersey. Look at that. Thank you, folks. That's all my time for
tonight.
A tip
of the radiation-free hat.
Yeah, yeah, that was incredible. But, I would say the Mookie one because I see a ton of Mookie jerseys at Fenway. I think everyone kind of has a similar vibe of like, hey, he was my guy. All right, I paid money for it. I'm going to keep wearing it. I have too many jerseys. I don't even know. I run out of jerseys to wear. I don't run out of jerseys to wear. It gets excessive. But I think people have their go-to jersey.
Well,
Mookie's one of them.
And Colby notes that a few late entries, Schilling, and now I know that I'm not going to be the only one wearing this jersey. Up to the broadcast booth, a Beckett jersey.
Yeah. I saw a Josh Beckett jersey last night, and this is a pet peeve of mine, Rob. It has been for years. Two pet peeves. One, the get the crowd to stand up guy. Get that guy out of here. I would love ejections for the guy that's trying to, hey, get stand up. No, I'll stand up when I want to stand up. I'm not standing up because, you know, Josh from Natick, who's 22 and had a couple of Bud Lights. I'm not standing up because you want me to stand. If anything, I'm going to sit down. Because you want me to stand up. I'm not going up because you want me to stand up. But secondly, Rob, the home jersey with the name on it. Because he had a home Beckett jersey with the Beckett on it. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
It kills me. Like the Red Sox don't have names on their home jerseys.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're here. We appreciate the science that Colby gave us.
Colby, you crushed it, man.
Excellent job. But right now, before we head off back into the phone lines, we could do a little bit of the trending.
Serving New England for nearly 30 years. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Fire up your summer at Ocean Edge Resort and Golf Club on Cape Cod. Grab your friends and family and hit the beach or the links on their Nicholas Design Golf Course. Enjoy water view dining. Catch some live music on the front lawn or simply lounge around their 429 acres, Rob. Spacious rooms and villas.
Nice.
With the amenities of home are calling your name. Get away this summer. You've earned it. OceanEdge.com. Here is what is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox beat Gerrit Cole and the Yankees, who stink, 6-2 last night. Erod left after one inning due to migraine symptoms. Phillips Valdez struck out 7 in an emergency relief appearance. Rafael Devers hit 2 ding-dongs, tallying 5 RBIs. He is the MVP of the Red Sox right now. I don't think there's any doubt. Game 3 of their 4-game series against the Yankees is this afternoon. Will Fleming and WEEI Hall of Famer Rob Bradford have the call at 4:05. I am contractually obligated to say that.
Delicious.
Pre-game with Brian Barrett starts at 3:05. You can hear the game right here across the Shaw's
and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network, as well as streaming on the Odyssey app across all six New England states. There's six, not five. The Bruins re-signed Taylor Hall to a four-year, $24 million deal. At 21st overall, the Bruins selected my guy. He's a Swedish right winger, Fabian Lysell. I've gone back and forth with him about hockey for years. I'm just glad that he's on my team.
I mean, so long ago you started talking hockey that when you first started talking, his name was Fabian.
Yeah, now it's Fabian, which I definitely said right. Patriots O-line coach Cole Popovich has left the team due to the league's vaccine policy. That is what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball, point, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a bowler to the stick man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
Nice, dude.
I have no idea what this is.
What? Come on. Brian Barrett, you going to the New Kids concert?
No. Right. No, I'm not that, going that to the New Kids
correct
concert.
Oh, you hate music. I forgot.
I'm not a music guy. Yeah.
You hate music.
Not a music guy, really.
Yeah.
What's the issue with the music?
It's not like I'm totally against music. I just ordinarily don't listen to it. Like, I can't remember the last time I actually chose to listen to music.
Yeah. Like this is what I'm going to do casually. Listen to music. You're not that guy.
This morning I'm on the treadmill and listening to Curtis and Fitzy and then Bradford. You were on after that, but I'm listening to Fitzy. I almost fell off the treadmill. Did you hear what he said about Mookie Betts, one of the five greatest Red Sox? What the hell type of take is that?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to lose myself. Ooh, I mean, come on. Pick it up,
Fitzy. WEI.com.
Barrett was ready with that one.
He was.
Let me tell you.
Two good seasons and a terrible postseason
player. Thank you for calling me in early for getting that off my chest. Well, this is what we're going to do here. This is Live BP Show. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Steve Peralt. Brian Barrett has come on in because Steve and I have to head over to the ballpark, the great ballpark. I'm on the call.
Rob, it's actually America's most beloved ballpark. I don't know if you heard that.
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah.
So, not according to Michael Kay, right?
Oh, my God. That was the dumbest thing.
I know that. Still got you riled
up.
Yeah,
Yankee fans get... No, they don't.
I love it.
They're quieter than...
Listen, if I take nothing away from today, I can tell that people are riled up and passionate and ready to go.
A lot of calls today.
And really, you go back to 2013, that team, like I've always said this, it took until the end of August for people to really get behind it because of a lot of other things that was going on. And people really were believing. They believe in this team. They believe in it.
Have you noticed that more in post game, Barrett? Sense it.
Yeah, and for me personally, I feel like this week has changed everything. You had the Sale outing in Portland, so he looks like he's on his way back. The way that they beat Gerrit Cole yesterday was way more impressive than the last time out. They methodically beat him down and they wore him down. And then the Tanner Houck performance. That's a total game changer for this team.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they couldn't touch his slider the other night. So.
Wait till they get Jesus Aguilar.
Yeah, watch
that's
out.
That's your prediction.
Yeah, I'm off Anthony Rizzo. I'm off.
Jesus saves. I'm excited to see what happens at the deadline. But I had mentioned this earlier that we have no idea what Haim's going to do. We can all say that, oh, they should do this, they should do that. But we have no clue. So I'm excited to see.
We do have an idea of what call we're going to take next. We're going to take Peter in Rhode Island. Hey, Peter, what's going on?
Peter.
Hey, guys. Rob, I have a question for you. I've been dying to find out why it is that when you're watching a game, why does the camera angle stay behind the pitcher in center field when the better angle is behind home plate facing the pitcher, where you can see so much more of the action? It drives me nuts.
Here's my guess, Peter. Here's my guess. You can't see. You're blocked by the umpire. You're blocked by the catcher.
Well, not the camera's so far back, you can see behind the catcher.
You can't see the pitch location. That's all that really matters.
How are you going to put the Amica strike zone in there?
I mean, oh, God, it's such a pain in the. It's such a pain because it's really nice to see how the play develops, you know, where the ball's being hit and where everybody's going. It's just it's so annoying. I say to my kids every time I'm watching a game, why don't they keep it here? Why don't they keep it here? And then as soon as they'd say that, boom, it goes right back to the outfield.
Terrible.
Anyway, it's just... just a little something that.
Well, we're going to put that on the list. We're going to put that on the list.
Thanks for the call.
It doesn't bother you guys. You don't see my point.
No, and Peter, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call.
There's two answers to that question.
I lost a lot of sleep over that.
I do see his point, but it does not bother me. So
I don't see his point. You got to see where the pitch is going.
Sometimes you like camera angles. You like certain camera angles, but I think it falls under the. You don't want too much of it. It's like a food that you really like.
Yeah.
If you eat too much of it, you're like, I don't like this quite as much.
It was kind
of
like Keenan and Kel, too much orange soda. Yeah, is what you're saying.
Yes.
The only point I think that he made that or the only layer of it that I agree with is that they got to do a better job sometimes of flipping over to the wide cam. There are times that it stays too much on the pitcher cam. You don't know where the ball is going. It's like, especially if you're calling the game for the road games. You're like, I got to see where this ball is going. I have no idea where this is going. So if you need them to be a little quicker, I understand that aspect of it. But you have to see where the pitch is going. Barrett, like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, Barrett, what are we talking about? Let's go.
I don't have too much of an issue with the camera angles.
Right, no, I don't either.
I have more of an issue with that in the NBA than I do in Major League Baseball. I've never had an issue with it whatsoever.
All right, hey, listen, you know what you don't have an issue with?
What's that?
Us leaving early and you taking over.
Barrett's been, for my money, the MVP of this station.
No question. Are you kidding me?
Incredible.
And most improved.
They just did like. So I'm like Giannis. I got most improved. Then I got MVP. I just got to get defensive player of the year.
That was just downhill. Now that you got
up until Section 10 did their viewing party there on Thursday night at the Kowloon. All I could think of every time I drove past the Kowloon was me beating my head against the steering wheel with your terrible, terrible takes.
So you've been great. Is what he's saying.
Okay, hold on.
But that was years ago.
Yes,
and now
we've been over this. I sent a letter to Dave Dombrowski apologizing about the Eovaldi contract.
Okay.
I thought that was a horrible contract.
What I'm going to say, Brian,
it's still a lot of money.
I haven't heard back from Dombrowski.
Now I pull over to celebrate your greatness.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
You just pull over and you start clapping.
You're actually like doing an absolutely great job. And also, are you going to be at the game? You're going to be at the ball yard tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I'm fired.
Are you off duty?
How many games
are you working?
Have you been to this year?
Zero. I haven't been to any.
How weird for the amount of words that have come out of your mouth about the Red Sox, and you've been to zero. That's
crazy.
Well,
I'm usually on the post game.
No, I'm not blaming you. I'm saying it's just funny that it's like he talks probably the most about the Red Sox and hasn't been to the
game. He doesn't want to be too close to the situation.
I know.
I think
I'm too close to the situation. I've been to 50 games so far. But
I can't wait for tomorrow. I cannot wait. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
it is. I look forward to seeing you in person.
Well, you're seeing me right now. No. Oh, you mean
at a different place.
It is a funny thing to say when you're in the room with them.
At a different place other than where we're all.
Yeah, but I hear these Avoca lemonades a little pricey for my
price
range.
They are pricey, but they're delicious.
I mean, the Live BP budget is, I don't know where it's coming from. Like, he told me how much these things cost.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
You're saying it like I said it off air. They're $13.50. They're very pricey. They're very pricey. And that's the discounted rate.
To be honest with you, I couldn't remember.
Like, I don't know what we said it, but yeah, definitely get it.
Anyway, we got to hop in the Live BP Mobile and head on over to Fenway. Brian Barrett's going to take you all the way to the pregame show. Brian, I'll talk to you in the Clubhouse Insider.
All
leading
right.
into the big broadcast. There's more, much more baseball to talk about.
And he
about.
Can't wait to see you in person again.
Oh,
it's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. All right. Load them up for Brian Barrett. 617-779-7937. We will see you. Well, I'll see you on the broadcast. Steve and I will see you.
Post game tomorrow.
Live BP show. Be back right after this.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball, point, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a ball to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
The Red Sox crowd, very quiet. The difference between a Red Sox crowd and a Yankee crowd is a Yankee crowd at Yankee Stadium will get loud to try to spur the team on to do something. And the Red Sox crowd reacts to something good. And they're being shut out right now, so it's kind of a quiet situation at Fenway Park.
Like a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, when things get Fast and the Furious, then they cheer. And that's long been the scouting report on the Red Sox crowd. Not a knock on them. They react rather than being proactive.
All right, what a horrible take by Michael K. Brian Barrett taking you up to the Red Sox pregame show. Then I'll be with you for the Red Sox pregame. We're in for the live BP guys, Steve Peralta and Rob Bradford on assignment. Bradford's on the call. So busy day for Rob Bradford. A lot of baseball talk for him. But that is, there is a such thing as a hot take. And I'm all for a hot take. I'm in the business of people serving up hot takes every day on the radio, right? But there is a hot take and then there's just a bad take. That's a bad take by Michael K. That's not a good take. That's a horrible take. And I love at the end of it, he says, it's not a bad thing. I'm not trying to offend you, as I paraphrase what he's saying. He's like, no, that's exactly what you're trying to do. You're trying to take a shot at Red Sox fans. And what I think Michael K is doing right now is essentially he's pandering to the Yankees fan base, right? Because the Yankees at this particular point in time, let's be real, they don't have anything to cheer for. Their team sucks. Their team is awful. So what they're trying to do is hype up the fan base. Oh, we're still better fans than the Red Sox are. Because, first of all, what is Michael K. talking about when he says that's the scouting report on Fenway Park? I'm sorry, haven't you been there like a million times? He's been the voice of the Yankees on TV for what, like 20 years, like two decades? And you're telling me that's the scouting report on Fenway Park? Wouldn't you know? Couldn't you just verify that by your own experiences at the ballpark instead of referencing what has happened in previous times that you've watched Red Sox games? You've literally been at Fenway Park hundreds and hundreds of times, and you're telling us that this is the scouting report on Fenway Park. Well, let me ask you a question. In the fifth inning last night, when Rafael Devers came up to the plate after Xander Bogaerts had driven in Kike Hernandez, it's a tie game at that particular point in time. And actually, let's go back to the Bogaerts at bat first. When the Red Sox are trailing Gerrit Cole 1-0, was the crowd quiet last night? It didn't seem that way to me. Now, I wasn't in the ballpark last night, but I'm watching the game and I'm doing the post-game show after and I'm watching this on Nesson. It seemed like the crowd was pretty damn electric last night. The crowd was pretty damn fired up to see Bogaerts come to the plate in that particular situation. Oh, and by the way, when the Red Sox lost their starting pitcher last night, Eduardo Rodriguez, to migraines, which, I mean, that just stinks. I felt bad for him. I mean, that looked horrible. I didn't know what was going on. I mean, if you're like me last night, you thought this is going to be way worse than migraines, right? I see Erod, and it looked like, from my vantage point watching on Nesson, it seemed like he was like grabbing his back, and I'm like, oh, jeez. You got to be kidding me, because his last four starts, he had been absolutely tremendous. The numbers were great, and he was really trending in the right direction. You're feeling like, okay, this is a major development for the Sox in the second half of the season. And you're like, okay, now he's going to deal with another injury. Now, I don't want to say luckily it was just migraines, but it seems like migraines are something that aren't as serious compared to a back injury or a shoulder injury or an elbow injury. So at least you dodged a bullet when it comes to that perspective from a Red Sox fan standpoint. But just getting back to Michael K for a second here is, when Phillips Valdez came into that game last night, that looked like it could have been a situation that could have been really bad for the Red Sox, right? You're bringing in a guy that just came up from Worcester because Sal Amora went on the injured list with triceps tightness. And you were thinking to yourself, okay, well, this is a situation right now where the Red Sox could be in real trouble. I know myself, I'm looking at this like, okay, Valdez comes in. If he can get out of this giving up just one more run, you'll take it. But he strikes out the side. Okay, so when that guy came into the game last night, Valdez, the crowd was cheering him on. The crowd was trying to encourage Phillips Valdez because they knew what he was up against. And what a remarkable performance by Valdez. And when you play a schedule like you do, 162 games, you're going to need these random performances like guys like that. And Valdez certainly gave it to you last night. But the most gratifying thing about this whole series with the Yankees is it does feel appropriate. Now, the Yankees are never going to be competitive this year. They're not a good team. They're right-handed dominant. The roster is incredibly flawed. I know Yankees fans, like, they think by firing Aaron Boone, it's going to spark the team and turn things around. Sorry, it's not. And quite frankly, I'm not telling you that Aaron Boone is this great manager. He's not even an Alex Cora's class. Let's be real about that. But anyway, firing Aaron Boone is not going to make this team good all of a sudden. You're not going to fix it, right? The real problem with the Yankees is Brian Cashman. That team is poorly put together at this point in time. So it's not as if the Yankees were going to get back into the pennant race, contrary to what people were telling me last night on the postgame show, that we had one guy tell me that they were going to win the division. I'm like, really? I mean, they're the fourth best team in the division, which means they're the second worst team in the division. The only team they're better than is the Baltimore Orioles, who are one of, if not the worst teams in the entire sport. So I get that the Yankees were never going to make it into the postseason, but doesn't it feel appropriate that the Red Sox can put the nail in the coffin, right? Where you say, okay, where did the Yankees season really end? Okay, it ended in Fenway Park on July 24th. And that's when the Yankee season ended. Because I do feel like you have to win this game today if you're the Red Sox. Because you have Eovaldi on the mound. Now, Jameson Taillon was really good for them last Sunday night. But Eovaldi has been nails against the Yankees, quite frankly, all season long. And you think about the matchup tomorrow. I'm not telling you that I believe Domingo Herman's a good pitcher, because that guy can get racked, and he's somebody you definitely want to cheer against based on that guy's past. But Martin Perez, he has been a real issue for the Red Sox, really, over the last eight starts or so. If you go back to that great outing he had against the Houston Astros where they avoided the sweep. Now, Correa and Tucker weren't in the lineup that particular day, but if you just look at that start for Perez, he was really good. I'm not denying that. But ever since he had that outing, he has not been the same pitcher since then. If you look at it, he has the worst opponent's batting average out of the qualified pitchers in that eight-game span, if you will. The eight starts that he had, nobody's been worse than Martin Perez. He's been absolutely horrible over that stretch. So when I look at it, today is the day that you got to end it with Nathan Eovaldi on the mound. And I trust Nathan Eovaldi is going to go out there and give you a solid outing. And I would have never said that about 2 years ago with Eovaldi. But credit Nate. He has been incredibly consistent all season long. Now, obviously, Tanner Houck has more talent than Nathan Eovaldi does. And obviously, when Chris Sale comes back into the equation, he has better stuff and obviously has a devastating slider. But Nathan Eovaldi, from start to finish.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.